Today's shiur is Masechta Soita Daf Chaf Gimel, and we will get on Daf Chaf Beis on the Beis at the Mishnah. The Mishnah reflects back what we learned in the previous Mishnayos that taught us that a woman sometimes could have schus that could postpone the effects of the Mayim HaMa'orim by 1, 2, or 3 years. Rav Shimon, however, disagrees. Rav Shimon Oimer ain't schus tal b'mayim hamarim. There is no delay because of a schus of mayim hamarim. V'im ata oimer haschus tal b'mayim hamarim. For if you will say that schus does have an effect, mada es ha mayim b'fnei kolam noshim hashoises. You diminish the effect of the mayim hamarim. A woman, if she does an aveira, recognizes that the Mayim HaMa'orim could possibly have a very disastrous effect, which serves as a deterrent from a woman from doing an aveira. But if now she recognizes and realizes that the Mayim HaMa'orim can be, the effect could be delayed, it won't have the same influence from deterring her to do an aveira. Furthermore, by saying that the Mayim HaMa'orim don't immediately take effect, women who drank the Mayim HaMa'orim and came out innocent, people will not necessarily accept their innocence anymore. Rather, they will say that the reason the Mayim HaMa'orim didn't work was because there was some sort of a schus. Sha'imrim, people will say, Tamei Yisheim, these women were really Tamei. El Shatoslan Schus, there was some schus that postponed the effect of the Mayim HaMa'orim. Rabbi Eimer, Rabbi disagrees, and he says, Aschus tol b'mayim HaMa'orim. Schus does have an influence in postponing the effects of the Mayim HaMa'orim. However, he says that if a woman is guilty and she drinks the Mayim HaMa'orim, what will happen will be, Eni yoledes v'enim shebeches. She will not have children, nor will she continue to be completely healthy. El misnavenes, misnavne v'hoileches. She deteriorates until l'saif himisa be'oisimisa. She will die the death, that is, the death of a person who drinks mayim hamarim. Just according to Rebbe, it will be postponed because of her schus. The Gemara we learned, and Avov quotes a machloikis, how to understand the machloikis between the Rabbanon that we learned in the previous Mishnah and Rav Shim and Rebbe in our Mishnah. Because the Rabbanon in the previous Mishnah also spoke about schus working, and Rebbe speaks about schus working. According to Reb Yosef, the way to understand the machloikis between the Rabbanon and Rebbe is that according to the Rabbanon, the entire duration that the schus works, during that entire time, she will be perfectly fine. Whereas, according to Rebbe, as we just learned, during that time, she will deteriorate. According to Rav Sheshes, both the Rabbanon and Rebbe hold that her situation deteriorates, her health deteriorates during this time from when she drank the Mayim HaMa'orim. And according to him, the machloikis between Rabbanon and Rebbe is from what death will she ultimately die. According to Rebbe, as we just learned, she will die the death that every Saita who's guilty dies when they drink Mayim HaMa'orim. According to Rabbanon, she will not die that death. She will die within the 1, 2, or 3 years, but not the death of a woman who dies immediately from drinking the Mayim HaMa'orim. Continues the Mishnah. Nitmes minchasoi at shleikotcha bekli. If the woman's carbon mincha became tamei before it was put into the klisharis, that we learned earlier, once the mincha is put into the klisharis, it obtains a kedushas haguf. The halacha is, harei kekol ha-minochais, it has a din like all other carbon minchas, v'tipada, and it may be redeemed. Mefarshim discuss, if that's the din by all carbon minchas, that as long as they did not put into the klisharis, and they didn't obtain a kedushas aguf, they could be redeemed. Why does our Mishnah have to mention this din specifically by the mincha saita? So one teretz that's given is that since, as we learned, that even prior to the carbon mincha being put into the klisharis, certain aspects of avoida begin with it. As we learned, they begin to take that carbon mincha and the kohen puts it on her hands in order to wear her out. So we think that even before it's put into the klisharis, it has a level of kedusha that it can no longer be redeemed. That's why our Mishnah needs to tell us that it still has the same din as all carbon minchas and may not be redeemed. Another teretz is a concept that we've discussed many times, is that this carbon mincha is a very unique carbon mincha. It's a carbon mincha that is here to evaluate her status, and therefore maybe it should have different rules. That's why our Mishnah teaches us that no, it has the same rule as all carbon minchas, and as long as it was not put yet into the klisharis with the kedushas haguf, it may be redeemed. However, in Mishakitcha Bekeli, once it put it into the Klisharis, Hareik Kol HaMenachis, it has it then like all other Kabbim Minchas, Viti Sarev, it must be burnt. Says the Mishnah, Ve'elam Minchaseim Nisrofis, the following situations are the situations where somebody's Kabbim Mincha should be burnt and not brought. Ha'im Tamei Nilach, if the woman admits that she's Tamei, the Halacha is that the carbon mincha must be brought. Here too, I sort of before Hashem asked the question, if every carbon is really a form of hegdish by the person being magdish to carbon, why is the halacha that it should have to be burnt? Why can't she just be shoyl, according to the opinion of Beis Hillel, be shoyl on that entire hegdish, and therefore the carbon mincha would no longer be kadosh and it doesn't have to be burnt? So again, as we've been saying, the Mefarshim explain, since this Karban Mincha is a very unique type of Karban Mincha, it's a Karban Mincha that comes to evaluate her status, the regular halachas of Sheila do not apply. Or Shabbat Edom Shitameya. If Edom say that she's Tamei, so we no longer need the Karban Mincha to tell us that she's Tamei. The testimony of the Edom established that. If a woman says, I refuse to drink, but as we have learned, this point, that if a woman says she refuses to drink, we don't give her the carbon mincha, we don't bring the carbon mincha, is only if it happened prior to the mechika of the Megillah. But once the Megillah was erased, just saying, Ein Shaisa will not exclude her from drinking, although as we saw there is a nafgamina in that din also. If she says it mitach briusa, if she says it when she's calm, then even if the Megillah was already erased, she will not drink. On the other hand, if she says it machas risusa, which she's nervous, she's agitated, then if the Megillah was already erased, we will force her, we learn to drink. The Mefarshim also point out that we had learned a machloikus between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbanon held that first the Megillah is erased and then the Mincha is brought. But according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva, the Mincha is brought before the Saita drinks the water. So we can understand our Mishnah according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. Because first the mincha is brought in a klisharis before she drinks, and now, after mincha is brought, she refuses to drink. However, according to Rabbanan, that say that she drinks first, and then only her mincha is offered, so how did the case of our Mishnah ever happen? She already drank. So what's pshat that she's saying she doesn't want to drink, and now we have a problem what to do with the carbon mincha? So Mefarshim explained that even the Rabbanan agree that if one reverses the order and brings the mincha before she drinks, it's acceptable. And that is the case. If she brings the mincha before she drinks, it's acceptable. And that is the case of our Mishnah. B'shabala inarot l'ashkosa, or a case where the husband doesn't want her to drink, he retracts, the halacha is that she no longer drinks. And Tosfos points out that if the husband regrets and says that he doesn't want his wife to drink, the halacha is that he can no longer change his mind. Once he said that his wife shouldn't drink, he can't regret on that. As Rabbi Akiva Eiger, we learned a Gemara. The Gemara asked the question that if a woman said, "Eini shaisa, I refuse to drink," and then she says, "Yes, I will drink," does she drink or not? And the Gemara left that question with a teku, with a question mark. Why is the woman, asked Rabbi Akiva Eiger, different than the man? And just like the man Tosfos just taught us, that once he says that his wife shouldn't drink, that remains the case, so should be the din by the woman. Answers Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Since by a woman, we find this concept that we just discussed a moment ago, there's a difference if she says, "Eini shaisa mitach briusai," when she's calm, versus when she says it, "mitach risusai," when she's agitated. So that, the shot in that Gemara is a woman said "Eini shaisa." She said "Eini shaisa," and we thought that she's calm, and that's why we accepted what she said. Perhaps now when she's saying that "I do want to drink," it's a proof that she only said it because she was nervous. And as we learned, when a woman says it because she's nervous, that really, she has no right to say it. But says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, that distinction between being calm and being agitated only is by a woman, not by the man. And that's why we can understand Tosfos is speaking about the man. The man, once he regrets and says that his wife shouldn't drink, cannot go back on that. The woman, however, is different. The Shabala Bala Baderach, the halacha is that only when the husband is menuka mi'ovin, only when the husband is innocent, do the mayim hama'orim have effect. But if the husband is not innocent, then the mayim hama'orim can't work. One of the rules are that once this woman is declared as a soita, the husband may not have relations with her. So if he had relations with her, the mayim hama'orim will not work, and that's why the mincha is burnt. The Rishonim point out that it's not only if Bala Bala Baderech, if the husband had relations with her on the way from home to the Beis HaMikdash. The same din would apply if the husband had relations with her at home still, before they started traveling to the Beis HaMikdash. So why does the Mishnah only speak about the case of Bala Baderech? So Mefarshim explain that as we're going to learn later in our Masechta Mitzvah Shem, when this husband travels with his wife to Beis HaMikdash, two witnesses accompany them to be shomrim, that they shouldn't have relations. So if they violate and do have relations on the road, there will be edim that could verify that that happened. At home, it's much less likely for us to become aware that they had relations, because at home they don't have edim watching them. Or v'kalan asus l'kohanim. Furthermore, any woman who's married to a kohen, as we're going to learn, there's a very fundamental distinction between the karban mincha of a kohen versus the karban mincha of Yisrael. The karban mincha of a kohen is completely burnt. The karban mincha of a Yisrael, a koimitz is removed and burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest of the mincha is burnt on the mizbeach. Teaches us the Mishnah that if a woman was married to a kohen, michaseyem nisrafos, the mincha is burnt like the mincha of a kohen. And as the Rishonim explain, as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, the Gemara has a real dilemma how to treat the karban mincha of the wife of a kohen. Is it like the karban mincha of a kohen? Is it like the karban mincha of Yisrael? And one of the options that is given to avoid this problem, to avoid this dilemma, is by the kohen giving full ownership of the mincha to his wife, and by giving her full ownership, he has no relationship to it, so it's certainly not considered a mincha of a kohen, and it's treated completely like the mincha of Yisrael. That is by all carbon, that approach can work by all carbon minchas. But that approach cannot work by the mincha of a soita. Because as we have been learning, the mincha of a soita is not only evaluating the wife, it also it's evaluating the husband. And therefore this approach is not an acceptable approach. And therefore the Mishnah and the Gemara need to figure out how to work with this mincha. Says the Mishnah, Bas Yisrael shenos l'koyin. For Bas Yisrael is married to a koyin, the halacha is mechasa nisrafes, like the mincha of a koyin. However, a kohenes shenos Yisrael, if you have a woman who's a kohenes that's married to Yisrael, mechasa nachelas, like the mincha of a Yisrael. And we're trying to point out that the same din applies if the kohenes is a grusha or almana. The halacha is that the mincha is treated like the mincha of Yisrael. The only time the Mefarshim point out is the mincha of a kohenes treated like the mincha of a kohen is if a girl who's still under the jurisdiction, a kohenes who's still under the jurisdiction of a father, and really everything she owns is owned by a father, that's the only time that the mincha of a kohenes could be treated like the mincha of a kohen, besides the situation when she's married to a kohen. So since the Mishnah has been discussing the differences between a Yisrael and a Kohen and a Kohenes, so the Mishnah gives a number of other differences. Ma bein Kohen le Kohenes. Kohenes, Michas Kohenes Nachelas, the Mincha of a Kohenes is eaten, the Shrayim, Michas Kohen, as we learned, and in the Nachelas, rather the entire Mincha is burnt on the Mizbeach. Kohenes Mischalelas. If a kohenes marries a man whom she's not supposed to, she becomes permanently disqualified from the kohuna. For kohen, a mischalel. The kohen is not permanently disqualified. The Rishonim do point out, however, that as long as he's married to the woman that he's not supposed to be married, he's not allowed to do avoida, he's not supposed to receive kachim. But once that marriage terminates, he has the full-fledged din of a kohen. That isn't the din by a kohenes. She remains permanently disqualified. Continues the Mishnah. Kohenes matam l'meisim. A kohenes may become tamei. Ve'en kohen matam l'meisim. A kohen may not be. Ask the Mefarshim, the Meretz Chayis, that the Mishnah should have mentioned another nafkamina. We learned earlier in our Masechta that to certain relatives, a kohen may become tamei. And we learned that not only may he become tamei, but he's obligated to become tamei. We never find a situation where a kohenes is obligated to become tamei. So why doesn't our Mishnah bring down that difference? So Meretz Chayis answers, only by a kohen who normally may not become tamei is there a concept by certain people he must become tamei. However, by a kohenes, where there never is a rule that she may not become tamei to certain individuals, never, nor is there a rule that she has to become tamei to certain individual. Kohen oich b'kachi kachim, a kohen eats from kachi kachim, ven kohenes oichels b'kachi kachim, but kohenes does not eat from kachi kachim. So since the Mishnah brought down various differences between kohen and kohenes, our Mishnah continues to bring down various differences between a man and a woman, halachic differences. And as Tosfos points out on Amud Beis, the list of our Mishnah is certainly not a complete list. There are many other differences that are between halachic differences between men and women that are not mentioned in our Mishnah. Ma bein ish li'isha, ish pyre fyrim. If a man becomes a mitzayra, he has to let his hair grow and he has to tear his garments. A father can impose Nazirus on his son, but a mother cannot impose Nazirus on her son. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, under what circumstances could a father impose Nazirus on his son? Rashi says, it's only as long as the son is a katan. Once the son becomes a gadol, he's his own person, and the father's Naziris, even if it was imposed while he was still a katan, has no effect. Tosfos disagrees and says that as long as Naziris was imposed while the child was a katan, and the term doesn't, if the term has not ended and he becomes a gadol, he has to complete his term of Naziris. As we learned, the Gemara Masechta Nazir discusses why is this the din. Rabbi Yochanan, as will be quoted in Mitzvah Shem on Amud Beis, holds because it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Rish Lakish says it's a din in chinuch, and the Rishonim point out what's a nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, a halachic nafkamina, is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The father only could tell the son, "You must be a you." I impose Naziris on you. But the father can't tell his son, I want you to accept Naziris upon yourself. However, according to Rish Lakish, that it's a concept of chinuch, the father could say, I want you to accept Naziris upon yourself in order that you should become mechunuch in the halacha of Naziris. Tzvasema says that the only type of Naziris a father could impose on his son is the regular term of Naziris, Stam Naziris Lamajoyim, the 30-day Naziris. However, the Miches Chinuch questions this, and the Miches Chinuch says that it could be not only the Naziris of Lamajoyim, but all types of Naziris longer than 30 days, Nazar Oilam, Nazar Shimshon, all of them can be imposed on by a father or on a son. Also a question, if the son violates the Naziris, will the son be over transgressed layachal dvaroi, since he wasn't the individual that brought the naziris on himself? Machloikis Rishonim, machloikis the Rambam and the Ran. The Rambam says that the son, if he violates the naziris, since he didn't bring the naziris upon himself, is not over layachal dvaroi. The Ran says that he is over layachal dvaroi. The Mefarshim also ask, we learned at the end of Masechta the Nazir that there's an opinion that Shmuel was a Nazir because the Pasuk says that Chana said a Myra Layala El Roishai, meaning that she imposed Naziris upon him. And the question is, our Mishnah just taught us that only the father has the ability to impose Naziris on a son, not the mother. So how could have Chana imposed Naziris on Shmuel? So some explain that Elkanah, Chana's husband, agreed to everything she did, as the Pasuk says, Asi ketoiv b'nayach, and that means that he was agreeing to what she said. Another pshat along the same line is that the Pasuk says, Sido neder, Chana said, Sido neder, meaning that she was saying that I understand that the Naziris will only be effective if my husband makes the Naziris, because he has that authority. Another pshat that I saw is that since Shmuel was only born because of the tefilos of Chana, so Shmuel's entire existence came about because of Chana's prayers, so she had the ability also to impose Naziris on him. And yet another pshat is that after Chana told Shmuel the entire history, what happened with his birth, with her tefillah on his behalf, so Shmuel, because of Kibbut of the Aim, accepted the Naziris that his mother wanted him to have. Says the Mishnah further, Hish Megaleach al Naziris Aviv, a son could be Megaleach, could use the money that a father set aside. As we learned in Masechta Nazir, if a father set aside ma'as tumim, he set aside funds for the kabbonis that a nazir has to bring, he was a nazir, he set aside funds without specifying which money will be for which carbon, and then he passes away before bringing the kabbonis, if the son accepts upon himself a naziris only after the passing of his father can he use those funds for bringing his carbon nazir. However, v'ein isha megalachas al nazir savira, that isn't the case by a daughter to a father. Ha'ish mekadosh es bitoy, a father has the right to marry off his daughter. V'ein isha mekadosh es bitoy, but a mother does not have the right medoraisa to marry off her daughter. Ha'ish meiches bitoy, a father has the right to sell his daughter as an omer avriya. V'ein isha mecheres es bitoy, but a mother doesn't have that right. Ha'ish Niskal Oran, a man if he's mechuyev skila, is the skila is done without him wearing any clothing. Ve'eni isha the skala saruma, but not a woman. Hish nitla, under certain circumstances, somebody who was killed, Mises Besdin, afterwards was hung. Says the Mishnah, ish nitla, only a man is hung. Ve'ein ha'isha nitlas, but not a woman. And even when a man is hung, the halach is he should be hung right before shkia, right before night, and right after shkia, since it's apostle like solon livlosoi aleitz, he should be taken off immediately. Ha'ish nimka b'gnevosoi, if a man steals and he doesn't have the funds to repay what he stole, Besdin sells him as an Eved Ivri, so they should obtain the money to pay back whom he stole from. But that halacha does not apply by a woman who stole. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Kol Anesuas L'Kahuna, whoever is married to a Kohen, Mechaseyem Nisrafais, the entire Minchas is to be burnt. Ketzad explains the Braisa, Kohenes Levi Yisraelis, Shenisus L'Kohen, a Kohenes Levi Yisrael, who's married to a Kohen, E Mechasa Nechelas, Hamincha may not be eaten, since she's married to a Kohen, and as we've been learning, all of the Kohen's entire carbon mincha is burnt, so here too the entire carbon mincha can't be eaten, because her husband, the Kohen, has a share in this carbon mincha. On the other hand, ve'ena oyla kol, we can't burn the entire mincha without doing kemitza. She has a share in this carbon mincha, and she is not a kohen. So what should be done? Says Seder Abonim, how kaimitz karba atzmai, the kaimitz should be separated and burnt, and the shirayim karim atzman, and then the shirayim should be separated and be burnt. Ask the Gemara, how can we give such an approach? If we can, why don't we have here a concern that the pasuk says, "Kol shu mimenu leishim hareu bal taktiru," that whenever we have a carbon, the part of it has to be burned, and part of it has been burned. As in this case, the kaimitz has been separated and burned. The din is that we can't take the rest of the carbon and burn it. So here, once we separated and burnt the kaimitz, how could we burn the rest of the carbon? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda b'Rei Rav Shimon b'Pazi, the Masik Lulu Shem Eitzim. What we do is, we take the remainder of the carbon mincha, besides the kaimitz, and we put it, as Rashi explains, on the Mizbeach with the following condition. If the halacha is that it ought to be burnt, so I'm burning it. If it's not allowed to be burnt, it should be used as fuel. Where do we find this concept of Elazar? The Tanya of Elazar Oima, L'Reich Nichayach Atem Aleihu, we're not allowed to burn the remainder for a carbon, Avol Atem Aleihu L'Shem Itzim, it can be brought as firewood. Rabbi Elazar, in Masechet Zvachim, is referring to a situation where the limbs of a carbon oila and the limbs of a carbon chatos got mixed up. We know that all of the parts of a carbon oila must be burnt on the Mizbeach. Not all of the parts of a carbon chatos are burnt on the Mizbeach. And here, we have these carbon chatos limbs intermingled with the carbon oila limbs. So what do? Says Rabbi Elazar, we take the entire pile, put it on the Mizbeach, and we say, whatever is a limb of a carbon oila is being put to be burnt on the Mizbeach, as such is the din. Whatever is a limb of carbon chatos, I'm making it a tnai that it should be used for firewood. Same is done here. Ask Tosfos on Rashi's Pshat. A tnai is only possible, as Tosfos, when we have a situation of suffix. We have a question, as we just described, on certain limbs. Are they the limbs of an oila? Are they the limbs of a chatos? Here, there is no question what is the shrine of this carbon mincha. So how can we use the concept of tanai? So Rashi, Taisu says, very sharp, Taisu says, agav shitvei. Rashi said this a little too quickly, following the model of Rebbe Elazar Masechet Zvachim. What the Gemara here means to say, says Rashi, says Tosfos, is that we see that Rabbi Elazar subscribes to a concept that when we don't know what to do, we should put the limbs on the Mizbeach and say that if they're not supposed to be on the Mizbeach, they should be considered like fuel. And that's the approach Rabbi Elazar says we should use here too. Ask the Gemara, Hanichle Rabbi Elazar, this advice is fine according to Rabbi Elazar, this Lehi Sfara that follows this concept, that we could put something that's not really supposed to be on the Mizbeach and say that if it's not supposed to be there, I'm using it as fuel. El Rabbanon, the less Lehi Sfara, the Rabbanon who don't subscribe to Rabbi Elazar's din, we're back to where we started, Ma'ikel Meimer, what do we do with the rest of the Karban Mincha that this woman brings besides for the Kaimitz? Answers the Gemara, David like Rabbi Elazar of Shimon. We follow the advice of Rabbi Elazar of Shimon. The Tanya. The halacha is that for certain averis, the Torah mandates a carbon oil of a yoyrid. The carbon that's brought is dependent on the financial status of the person who's obligated to bring the carbon. If the person is of means, he brings a carbon chattis behemah, he brings a carbon chattis an animal. If he's a person that doesn't have that ability, he brings either shtei soirim or shnei b'nei yoina, echad l'oila v'echad l'chatos. And even if he can't even afford that, he brings a carbon mincha. And there's a machlokes in Masechta Menachos exactly how is that carbon mincha treated. The Tana Kama says since the pasuk describing this carbon mincha uses the words v'hoi, so it's treated like the carbon mincha of a kohen. And we just finished learning that the carbon mincha of a kohen is completely burnt. So too with this carbon mincha completely burnt. Rav Shimon has the opinion that there is no rule that once the kohen is burnt, the rest of the mincha may not be burnt. And therefore he says what happens here is the kohen is separated and burnt, and then the rest of the mincha is burnt. And obviously, according to Rav Shimon, that would be the case, and that would be the din in our case also by the carbon mincha of the wife of a kohen, where he would say, separate the kohenitz, burn it, and then the rest of the carbon mincha should be burned. Rabbi Elazar of Shimon has a different opinion. He says, a kohenitz karabatzmai, the kohenitz is separated and burnt on the mizbeach, the shirayim is spazim al peis adeshin, and the rest of the carbon mincha is burnt on the base Hadeshin. Machloikis Rashi in Tosfos, what is exactly the base Hadeshin? Rashi explains that the base Hadeshin is the place where they kept the ashes that were removed from the Mizbeach. Tosfos says the base Hadeshin is the area where Karbonis that got disqualified were burnt. Says the Gemara, Bafil Rabbonin, like Pliga Leid Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, the Rabbanan there in Masechta Menachos disagree with Rabbi Elazar Shimon. Oli the Minchas Chaytish Kahanim the Basak Krovahi. They hold that the Rabbanan hold we can burn that entire carbon mincha. V'hois l'koyin k'mincha. Av b'ha in our case, in the case of the carbon mincha of the wife of the koyin, I feel the Rabbanan moider. Even the Rabbanan agree to the approach of Rabbi Elazar Shimon. Bring the kohenitz on the mizbeach, and the rest of the karban mincha mispazeres abeis hadeshin. We learned in the Mishnah, bas Yisrael hanesua to a kohen as one din, but if she's married to Yisrael, a mincha is eaten. My tama, dama krava kam minchas kohen kolat tialoi soichel, that the din of that the entire mincha is burnt is only by a kohen, loy kohenes, not by a kohenes. We learned in the Mishnah, a kohenes mischalelis, if a kohenes marries a woman, a man that she's not supposed to marry, the halacha is that she becomes permanently disqualified from the kuna, kohen ein mischalel, but not the kohen. Menolon, how do we know that the kohen doesn't become permanently disqualified? Damakrov lo yichalel zaroi ba'amav. Zaroi mischalel, only the children of a kohen who married a woman who he wasn't supposed to become chalolim, who ain't a mischal, but not the kohen himself. How do we know that the woman who married the man she wasn't supposed to becomes mischalel, because the pasuk says v'lo yichalel, two lamets, one for the child and one for the woman herself. The same din isn't only by a kohenis who marries someone she wasn't supposed to, but Yisraelis or Leviah also who marries someone they're not supposed to become permanently disqualified from tikkunah. Our Mishnah didn't reflect on that din, because our Mishnah speaking as we explained about a kohen and a kohenis. We learned a kohenis metama, a kohenis may become tamei tameis, but a kohen may not. Ask the Gemara maitama. Answers the Gemara, Amakra, Emma Kahanim B'nei Aharon, the din that a Kohen may not become Tomei was said to B'nei Aharon, for Lei B'nei Saharon, not to Kohenis. Kohen Oich B'Kachikachim, a Kohen eats Kachikachim, not a Kohenis. The Ksiv, the Kozocha B'nei Aharon Yechlena, the din is limited to males. Uma Bein Ish L'Isha, the Mishnah continued in teaching us various halachic differences between men and women. And one of the differences was that a man, when he becomes a tsarua, has that prio frima, not a woman. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, ish. The pasuk says ish. Ainli el ish. So I would think that the din of tsaras only applies to a man. Ish aminayin. How do we know that it also applies to women? Kshoim va tsarua shaboy. In the middle of the parasha of tsaras, the Torah uses the word Vatsarua Shaboy Negatsaras. And the question is, why does the Torah have to use the word Vatsarua? We're obviously talking about a Mitzayra. As the Pasuk says, Vehatsarua. To teach us, Hare Kan Shnayim, that not only is Tsaras relevant to men, but it's also to women. Imkain, Ma Tam Eloy Me'ish. So why does the Torah use the word Ish, which seems to indicate that Tsaras only applies to men, not to women? Linyan Shlamata, regarding the other din, that the din is to the ish pirei or fireim, that only a woman, that only a man has the din of pri and frima, not a woman. The Mishnah taught us, as we discussed, hish mandis benoy benazir, a father can impose naziris on his son, then isha medaris benoy benazir, but a mother cannot. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, how do we know this? Halachli benazir, it's a halachli Moshe Sinai. Hish megalech al naziris aviv, a son can use the funds of his father to for his own naziris. Vein isha megalech al naziris avia, but a daughter may not. Am Rabbi Yochanan, this too is halachli benazir, it's halachli Moshe Sinai. The Mefarshim ask, as we quoted when we learned the Mishnah, the din that only a father could impose Naziris on a son and not a mother. We learned the Masech the Nazir is actually the subject of a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan holds, as the Gemara just quoted, that halachi ben Nazir, that it's a halach l'mosh m'sinai. Rish Lakish, on the other hand, said that it was a din in chinuch. Ask the Mefarshim why, when our Gemara looks for the source that a father and not a mother can impose Naziris on a son, does the Gemara only quote the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan and not quote the opinion of Reish Lakish? So one tarot the Mefarshim give is, as we recall from Masech the Nazir, the opinion of Reish Lakish, there were many questions on his opinion, and although the Gemara answered the questions, they were somewhat difficult answers to understand, and that's why the Gemara doesn't want to quote the opinion of Reish Lakish. Another answer is because the Gemara, everybody agrees that the din, that a son could use a father's funds, but a daughter can't use her father's funds, are halachal Moshe Sinai. So since the Gemara is going to quote, as we just did, Rabbi Yochanan, regarding the din that ha'ish megalech al naziris aviv, ve'ein ish megalechas al naziris aviyah, the dear everybody agrees it's because it's halacha l'maisha misinai. So that's why the Gemara also, for consistency purposes, says the same reasoning for hish madav espenoy benazir, ve'ein ish madar espenoy benazir. We learned in the Mishnah, ha'ish mekadosh espita, ve'ein ish mekadosh espita. A father can marry off his daughter, but not a mother. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, as biti nasati l'shazer, a father has this authority, not the mother. For the same reason, only a father could marry off a daughter, not a mother. The ksiv, as the pasuk clearly says, a father has a right to marry off his daughter, not a mother. A man is stoned without any clothing, not a woman. My tama, because the pasuk says v'rogmu oisai. What does oisai mean? The Torah speaks about a male. Ilema, my, if you're going to say oisai v'loi oisai, that the Torah is saying that only a man can be the subject of skila and not a woman. We know that that's not true because v'ksiv v'tseisa se ishahu oyas ishahi. So the Torah clearly indicates that a woman also could be subject to stoning. Ella, what does it come to teach us? Oisai v'loi ksusai. A man, when he's stoned, is stoned without wearing any clothing. But not a woman. We learned the Mishnah Ish Nitla. A man, under certain circumstances, is hung after Mises Bezdin. Veni Isha Nitlas, but not a woman. My Tama, a makra v'salisa oisai ala eitz. Oisai, only a man, v'loi oisai, not a woman. Hish nimka b'gnevasai. Veni Isha nimkeres b'gnevasai. A man, if he steals and doesn't have the funds to repay, is sold by Bezdin. But that din does not apply by a woman. My tama, I'm a kra, v'nimka b'gnevasai, v'lai b'gnevasai, only when he steals, not when she steals. Ask Tosfos. The Gemara in Masechet Kedushin teaches us that the din, that if an Eved Ivri wants to remain past the 6 years with his owner, we have the din of Ritzia that we take and we make a hole in his ear. So the Gemara says, how do we know that that din only applies by an Eved Ivri, not by an Amma Avriya? So the Gemara says, because the pasuk says, V'ratza es oznoi, oznoi v'loi ozno. Ask Tosfos, the only time there's a din of Ritzia is when somebody is sold by Bezdin. So ask Tosfos, if our Gemara just proved that the din of Ritz, of Nimker, Beginei Vosai, only applies by men, not by women. So obviously, a woman cannot be subject to Ritzia, because Ritzia is only when somebody was sold, and a woman is never sold by Bezdin. So why do I need a special pasuk, ask Tosfos, to exclude women from the din of Ritzia? Answers Tosfos, that we would think that whenever someone is sold by someone else, they're subject to Ritzia. So yes, a woman cannot be sold by Bezdin, but she could be sold, and that's the only case she's sold. She's sold by a father. So maybe the father selling her is equal to Bezdin selling her. And therefore, just like when a Bezdin sells an Eved Ivri, he could be the subject of Ritzia. So too, perhaps, when Amma Avriya is sold by Bezdin, by a father, she should be subject to Ritzia. That's why we need the Torah to teach us, V'rotza es oizna v'loi ozna. Hanu lach hayonaitel, hanu lach hayonaitel, hanu lach hayonaitel.